Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jim, who is an avid participant in the Practice Everywhere Tweets program. Welcome, Jim.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. So for folks who don't know, the Practice Everywhere Tweets are something you can sign up for at no charge on our website, where between 3, 4, 5 times a day, a text comes through on a text on your phone with a reminder, a practice reminder of, you know, something to look at for the moment, something to bring us back to the moment. And periodically, we get an offer to participate in sending our own little messages in that will be sent out as tweets. And I happen to know that not a whole ton of people take us up on that offer to participate, and yet I understand that you do quite often. So I thought it would be fun maybe to have you tell us about what inspires you to do that, to have that be such a committed part of your practice.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I really, it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. And I just started responding to those messages, submit your own tweets, and I was it was so much fun coming up with tweets and such a gratifying process to send those in and uh-huh. let them go. And sometimes a month later, you know, I would see it come back. But as I was approached about this interview, I got to thinking about it as a practice, and that in itself was really revealing. It is very gratifying, and it's a lot of fun, and there's so much more that goes on with that. But I realized that there's also a ton of resistance, and that resistance comes with this message. Well, afterwards, there's this message of like, well, that wasn't so bad. Or, you know, that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. That kind of makes me feel like I'm believing in the resistance and kind of buying into it. And I'm unconscious of it on some level. If I'm saying that wasn't as bad as I expected, then there has to be this unconscious expectation that sort of buying into. And it's what was interesting, I guess, for me seeing that is that the outcome is fantastic every single time. There's no letdown, you know, like, oh, that I finished that, and yes, it was a chore, and yes, it was boring, and I'm glad it's over with, you know. So that was really good. That was really good to see. You know, as far as the tweets, go ahead.
Yeah, but if I may, Jim, because you're making such an important point, which points at why participation is such a big thing in practice. You know, there's lots of books out there. I mean, Sherry's published a lot at Ashwini, many, many inspiring, fabulous books, which are a huge piece of what brings a lot of people to practice. It certainly brought me to practice. And yet, just sitting and reading the books isn't going to change our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the participation piece is so important. And I think that's why, you know, it's so fun to talk to someone who actually does that. You know, so we're all getting that invitation. If we're in the Practice Everywhere Tweets program, we're all getting that invitation once every few days. Hey, send in your tweets. But what is the process that has most of us ignoring it? And yet what you're doing is you're actually participating. And in that act of participation, first of all, you said it's fabulous every time. And, you know, what fun to have your tweet come back to you sometime, you know, way in the future, maybe a month down the line. But that you get to see that conditioning has the full resistance program, which I would bet $1 million it has everywhere all over your life, and you get to see through it and to realize that's not in charge of my life because I'm still doing it.
Right. Yeah. And that process of participation, as you're talking about that, I realize like that feeling that I have afterwards of just feeling centered and wholesome, because the tweets are these these little snippets of content, and content is sort of not what we're about, but mm-hmm. That it's not because I've figured anything out, or I've even comforted some worry, or I've gotten right. ahead, or anything like that. It's just because I have shown up. I've fed the good wolf. I've fed the courage wolf. Someone here feels like whatever the opposite of abandonment is. Someone mm-hmm. here is like, we're willing to feed the good wolf, and it's, you know, because one process does not lead to the other.
Yeah.
That fear wolf that's getting fed just unconsciously throughout the day is starving in that moment, and there's just this sense of release at the end of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm understanding what you're saying, that what you're seeing is by you participating, by sending in your tweets, in this case, that's the form of participation we're talking about today, that's actually an incredibly kind thing to do for the human, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Not to mention everyone else who's going to benefit by the thousands
right.
of people who are going to receive that on their phones.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It benefits the human. There's something else that just as you were saying that, there's another process, because they are these little snippets of content, and just that process of kind of showing up for myself benefits the human, but also I can tell as I'm writing them, if I get too much into the content of, trying to be clever or, because some, or trying to teach or admonish, you know, like make sure that you practice this way, you know, and there's maybe a twinge of self-hate in that, as opposed to some of the great tweets have just been like, do the boogie, you know, they're feeding the happy wolf And so there's I can kind of use it as a practice opportunity to see sort of subtle layers of conditioning, because the tweets are in the same language, English, you know, as that EKC uses. And,
So what you're doing in that, it sounds like, is really learning to tune the channel. You know, you're really honing that ability to tune into life. And it's so interesting. I can really resonate with the process that you're talking about. So you start writing, and it's like, it's sort of like writing an email class response, isn't it? Oh, that's not quite it. No, let me see. Is it this? Aha. And then you just feel that sort of resonance when you drop in, there, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you're saying that, like that process of writing, there's this message that EKC sends of like, got everything figured out. I don't really have anything to say. I haven't really learned anything. And they're like, I don't know. And once you start to write, you're like, oh my gosh. Like, and as I'm saying that, it kind of reminds me of that definition of karma of like wanting the world to getting to the place in the world where everything's the same and you know it all, or something like that.
Right.
I butchered that, but.
Right. No, we got you. At least I did, perfectly. That basically the entire world I see is me in the way that I know myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it strikes me too, Jim, as you're talking, that what an expression of taking responsibility for practice it is for any of us to participate in a way like this. So here's this tweets program, these messages that are going out to thousands of people all over the world every day. You know, many, many, most people in the Sangha, I would imagine, are signed up for that program. And if no one writes them, then they don't go out. So it just strikes me as such a profound expression of taking group responsibility, each of us individually, is doing our part to take responsibility for the well-being of practice for the whole Sangha.
It's fun too. Two things that real quick. I know we're about out of time, but I'll open up a Word document, or actually a Pages document, and there's a little thing where you can put how many character it is if you're highlighted text. And then save them in that document, and it's kind of a running document. So then I can go back, and I'll have a long document that I can record. And those those have all been saved. And then and another thing that you're, that's just kind of the format and the process. But another thing you're talking about is I had the opportunity to live at the monastery for about a month, and I know that, you know, just cooking and washing dishes three times a day and washing the fruit and creating the menu and, you know, whatever the agendas that is created and watering the plants like that, you know, that in the summer was a full-time job. So it's really kind of neat to think about kind of unburdening the monks a little bit and and delivering them some tweets and and so that they can, you know, water the plants and get some rest. And there's a lot to do there.
That's a really beautiful point. Thank you for that. That each person in the Sangha, certainly the monks, but my gosh, it's really many, many, many people behind the scenes that we don't even know about. You know, we occasionally hear from them maybe somewhere like this, Good News Update. But, you know, here's Jim participating by making the Practice Everywhere program happen, and no one knows about that, right? And there's dozens, maybe hundreds of people like that, that we don't know about. So I love that that image of, I do this, so it frees up someone else to do something else. Yeah. And, you know, just one other point as we're talking, you're right, we do have to end, but it's really striking me in this conversation, the profound element of participation in practice. And I was saying a minute ago about, you know, not just reading books, that we actually have to participate. And I was just thinking that it's so interesting that all of the books that are coming out now that Sharon and Ashwini have recently written are all centered around participation, very much like the Tweets program. You know, like we have the deck of cards now and, you know, the 30-day retreats at the end of the books. And all of them are that same process that we're talking about. It's a call to participation because we have to have our own experience of it. So I'm inspired. Mm-hmm. You know, I know one of the things I do for myself is that each month I decide, okay, what's another area of practice where for this month that can be a particular focus for me. So I think in an upcoming month it's going to be submitting my tweets. So thank you for that inspiration, Jim.
Welcome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Take good care.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jim. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. I think I'll send in tweets.
Yes. Yes, that was
wasn't
great.
Wasn't that good? I mean, when he said that about all that there is to do at the monastery and that sense of making that contribution and freeing somebody up to do something else, I just want to jump up and down and do that too.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so Sangha.
Yeah. Yeah. He made so many excellent points. They both did. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. What's going on with you?
I'm a little under the weather, and I talking to you. A little cold. A little cold. Hopefully it won't last too long.
It's this weird spring weather we're having, isn't it?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It does give me a chance, though, to lie at home and read the email class, so that's a...
it's not all a hardship then, huh?
Yeah, right.
Oh, good. That's good.
I have some announcements here, unless you want to start us off with something else.
No, I want to hear those announcements. I want to know what's going on. You know, I'm doing this email class. I don't know from nothing except standing there at that computer, so I like a little contact with a real human and like that, so I'm excited here.
Great. Mornings with the Mentor, group coaching, supports you as you connect to unconditional love and acceptance and set intentions for a conditioning-free day. For information about the session beginning June 10th, visit sanghamarket.com.
Nice. Great way to start the day.
Yes. And to immerse yourself in practice, sign up for the new In This Way I Do Most Deeply Vow to Train Myself. That's a retreat in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania in late August.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And
a lovely
joy. Yes. Mm-hmm. And for the joyous work of finding compassion for yourself and others, join the foundational There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. That's July 24th through 31st in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, I'm often struck, and I think I often say how lucky we are to be in all these beautiful places. I was just thinking about it this morning, as a matter of fact. Something reminded me of Vallombrosa, where we're going to be in June or July or something like that. And
yeah.
Usually we're there at New Year's, as you well know. And it tends to be cold at New Year's. Not as cold as it can be in some places, I suppose, but cold enough to make us whine. And we're going to be there at such a beautiful time of year. And I was thinking, I was listening to a recording, actually, from a time that I was at that retreat center. And what I heard myself say was, Menlo Park has some kind of amazing relationship with trees. Because it's, well, you know,
yes.
Some of the biggest, most beautiful trees I've ever seen are in that town. I thought, we're going to be there in the summer. It's just going to be extraordinary. I got so excited about it. And Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, we're always there at a beautiful time of year. And it's gorgeous. And North Carolina, we're there at a gorgeous time of year, and it's gorgeous. So, and then there's the monastery, which, you know, is not bad itself in the pretty
yes.
department.
Mm-hmm. Yes, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, you know, if you have to do practice.
Yes, in a beautiful spot, beautiful food, all of it.
Beautiful people. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
And so for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders to make guest show, to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
All right.
And
thank you.
And here we go, Sherry. You're welcome.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Oh, it's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi. I'm the first caller.
Yes, you are. You might not have been prepared, huh?
Oh, I just had such a strong sense to call in. I've had a commitment since the beginning of the year on Tuesday nights. And so this is my first free Tuesday night, and so I'm actually not so surprised. So great, so here I am.
Great. Now, you're never going to make that mistake again, are you, having a commitment on Tuesday night?
You know, Sherry, it was a great opportunity.
Oh, okay. Well, okay then. I was going to say, from now on, you just say, well, I'm happy to do that, but not on Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights are already spoken for.
I have a commitment. I have a previous commitment.
But
that's okay. We're glad to have you now. What's going on?
I'm calling one to just kind of check in. And what's going on is there's actually a lot going on. And life has been presenting a lot of really fun opportunities. One of which was my Tuesday night opportunity to, just kind of be in the world in a way of like representing practice, in the community. And
I know what you're doing on Tuesday nights. Okay,
yeah,
you have. I'm absolving you of any any notion of sin there. Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
I know
great.
What you're doing.
Yes.
That's very good.
Yeah. So I had a chance to work with teens, and there's been other opportunities that have been arising, and so it's really exciting. It's exciting in that, as you know, I've been wanting to do, like, have a shift of attention in terms of what I do for my, you know, work, and it's things have been arising in just kind of a slow and natural way, and it's starting to catch a little bit of momentum. And what I'm finding is there's a lot of excitement, so I'm having to practice with a lot of, like, energy, and and I also am finding that my attention is getting, I don't know if the word is diluted, or my attention has to be in multiple things throughout the day, because I've got a couple of different things going on, and I'm in this place of not clear when I can let something go and be more, fully available for something else. And I'm like, my little prayer is waiting for life to make it clear. And and I know that. So anyway, I'm kind of in this place of just kind of going with the day and saying yes to opportunities. And but there's a sense that at some point I might need to be directing my attention more in one area than another. And this is what I am hoping to get guidance on.
Well, what I'm hearing in this, first of all, is you have a lot of energy, which is lovely, isn't it? It's a nice way to go through the days.
Yeah,
when there's that kind of, and we're really here and participating. And, of course, in practice, what we're always endeavoring to do is stay present, which is hard. Well, it's hard in any case. So if we're on the depressed side of the continuum, it's hard to stay present because the conversation is about being depressed, right? Not having enough energy or nothing's working or whatever that conversation is. We get over to the other side of the continuum, we've got a lot of energy and there's a lot of excitement, and then it's hard to stay present because we want to go off and, think about that and fantasize about it, make plans and all of that. So staying present, whatever is going on, is job one. And then within that, we do wait for life to let us know, right? And here's I don't know if this will be helpful, but this is the one I use. Anytime a conversation gets started, I know that's not the intelligence that animates informing me.
Okay.
So if it occurs to me that maybe the thing that I would like to do is go on a trip, right? And it just drops in. I'm just out walking around, or I'm watering the plants or whatever it is, and it just drops in to go on this trip. And then the conversation starts. But what about this and what? Okay, I can just cut it off right there. That's not helpful. That has no bearing on anything. So now I'm just left with going on this trip. Right? So now I'm going to move forward with going on this trip. And if something comes up that stops me, it's going to stop me. It's going to come up and stop me in the same way that it dropped in the first place. But it's not going to be a conversation. And the other thing that occurs to me about the situation that you're in that I think is one of the most challenging places in practice is, so I'm going along and I'm not thinking about anything. I have a commitment. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just doing the next thing. I'm working to keep all of my attention right here, doing what I'm doing. And then there's the, but what if you're doing the wrong thing? You know that one? So that well-placed fear that you're going to miss something by not thinking about things. And you're gonna miss it, and then you're gonna make a mistake.
Yeah.
But what we do, what we learn to do in awareness practice, is trust a couple of things. One, there's no such thing as a mistake. Two, if there's information you need, the intelligence animating is going to provide it. And three, it's going to come to you in a really kind, compassionate, non-judgmental way.
Okay. Yes, I can. Yeah, I'm completely with you. I definitely have that karma of needing to kind of keep everything in check in fear of making a mistake or missing something, exactly what you laid out. And it in one place where where I've fallen into that is getting so identified in that place of keeping track of everything and making sure I'm responsible to it all, I neglect things like the relationship I'm in, or I neglect things that I know that take care of me. And so I see how they're, and sometimes it doesn't drop in that I need to attend to those things because the space is all being used up by
yes.
Why I have all this stuff in front of me.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, is where a schedule can come in really handy.
Yeah.
Right? So that I don't have to think about these things. Between this time and this time, so I mentioned, maybe you know I'm doing an email class. A schedule saves me. Between this time and this time, I do this. And I don't do those other things at that time, you know.
Yeah.
And then when that time is over, it's time to do this. And then it's time, so it's like the monastery schedule, you know. Now it's this time we're fixing food. Now it's this time we're eating food. Now it's this time we're cleaning up.
Yeah.
And it's the way to avoid chaos. Right?
Yeah.
And of course, conditioning hates it, but it's the way to experience freedom, because we don't have to be in that conversation. So I don't have to worry about neglecting my relationship because it's right there. You know, every day at this time, this is the time that I'm attending to that relationship. This is the time that I'm attending to work. This is the time, right? So there's a time for everything, and it all gets out of the conversation with conditioned mind.
Okay. Yeah. And then
a partner might not be excited about being scheduled. But a partner might also understand that sometimes things can feel so chaotic that without that, partner gets left off the list.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah, I'm totally. Yep. See the value of that, and just to touch on, I know I'm way past 5 minutes, but that place of knowing when it's time to actually make a move, it's just trusting that it will just become really clear and it's not going to be coming from any conversation.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, here's the trick of that, though. It doesn't mean a conversation won't try to start up afterwards. It's that when it drops in and you're clear that it's clear, you say yes to it.
Okay.
You don't say yes to it because it's clear and then get talked out of it with the conversation and conditioned mind. Because that conversation will come in no matter how, in quotes, right something is. Conditioning is still going to bring up that conversation. Well, but what about? But you know it. You know in yourself that the depth and clarity that was there with that realization. And that's what we go with.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Let me know.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tracy.
You.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Bart, formerly in Florida.
Hello, formerly. And now from?
Now from Maryland.
Maryland. Moving on up. All right.
Yeah, I'm actually originally from Maryland. I introduced myself from Florida the past couple times I called.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right. Well, now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too.
Yeah. Good. Tell us about that.
Well, it has been back and forth a lot, and I've really appreciated the the whole sangha. And us, and so I'm here. I'm settled in. I'm very fortunate to have bought a house up here, and I'm really just trying to stay in the moment because the future, which will never come, has all sorts of the conditioning is projecting all sorts of scary things.
Yeah,
on the future, of course. Yeah. And,
yeah.
I've been practicing a lot. I've been doing a lot of recording and listening. I haven't been sitting as much as I'd like to. I've been doing some in the morning and very kind of sporadically in the evening, just on time to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to, anyway, in the moment, in this moment, I'm happy for that awareness.
Uh-huh.
So specifically, I suppose that I'm very interested to hear what you might have to say about children and my relationship with my kids, my two biological kids and two stepkids, especially in regard to being supportive without freaking them out.
Without giving them that, what do you want feeling?
That's an interesting observation because I'm pretty sure that's probably the perspective that they're coming from. Yeah. What are you trying to?
Mm-hmm. What are you up to? You adults always have some sort of agenda going.
Yeah.
How old are the kids, Art?
Yeah, there's a 21. A daughter, 21, in college. A son, stepson, 20, also in college. 11th, just going to 11th grade, 16-year-old stepdaughter, and a 15-year-old son, and just going into 10th grade. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, and so what is it looking like with these people who are on the verge of?
Yeah. Well, it's it's looking like with my biological kids that I've lost such a, you know, I'm kind of looking backward because I remarried 5 years ago, and so for the past 6 or 7 years, conditioning is telling me that I've been entirely unavailable to them and abusive in regard to neglect and expectations and, you know, with respect to blending families, that sort of thing. With my stepkids, it looks like, I just saw both of my biological kids this evening, and we're doing great. You know, it's wonderful. With my stepkids, it's a little bit of apprehension, some fear around it, really, simply because of conditioning is telling me that if I do the wrong thing with them, then my my wife will be obligated to perceive me and to actually make decisions, you know, with respect to our future together as a couple.
Uh-huh. So how you do with the kid, with her kids, determines how she's going to be with you.
It has, in a very large part, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, do you two talk about that? Have you ever asked her about that?
No, I have not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with all of these, this email class that we're doing now is on communication. And, of course, the amazing part is that I think probably most people in practice, are pretty clear about, is that the vast majority of, and my fingers have to make those little quote marks in the sky, communication engaged in is with conditioned mind. And very little actually happens outside with other real people. So with each one of these, it seems like it would be possible, maybe I'm just being naive, but it seems it would be possible to actually have these conversations with these people who are involved.
Yeah, wow. Isn't that amazing?
It kind of is, because otherwise what happens is you really don't have any idea what's going on with them, but conditioning is happy to fill in an endless litany of information about everything you've ever done wrong in your life, and then especially with wife and kids.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very interesting. It just creates a huge story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I'm usually fear, you know, that I'm responding with fear.
Oh, yeah. Which
and
is
regret.
Its
yeah.
point, right? Fear, regret, and isolation.
Yes, yeah.
Because by the time it builds up a big enough story, we're beyond hesitating when it comes to actually just sitting down with somebody and having a conversation, because it's been built up into this. I mean, with the kids, you know, they perceive you as abusive and neglectful, and they probably resent you, and your wife is, you know, feeling all this stuff and watching you and seeing, you know, I mean, yikes.
Yeah.
So to have the kind of conversation that says, and especially with, you know, I mean, your kids are all so close to being adults. They're not, of course, but they are. That it's possible to say, you know, do you need anything from me, or can I be helpful, or are you all right? They'll tell you.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and it's so simple. That's really
it's so simple.
Simple. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's what we all want. We all want that kind of connection, you know. And even if, like, the teenagers especially are not terribly forthcoming with how they're feeling, they're going to be happy that you're asking.
Yeah. Yeah, or pissed off.
Yeah, but still, I think underneath, secretly, pleased, because we all want attention. You know, we all want to be seen and appreciated and valued. And so, you know, if they don't have much to say, you can still tell them how you feel.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much. I'm really
anytime.
Enjoying life. Yeah, I really am.
Good. Isn't that a great thing? So what we want to do then is nix the conversation in the head that is there for no other reason but to try to put a damper on all that enjoyment.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm here. I know where I am. Thank you.
Good. Take care.
You too. Take care.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Art. I loved that conversation, Sherry. Just fabulous.
Yeah. It's conditioning, I don't know if I can actually articulate this, but conditioning keeps us in such a vulnerable place that we can't often be vulnerable in ways that would really take care of us.
Yep, I can see that.
Yeah, in a relationship, but that constant conversation about what the other person is thinking and doing and how they perceive this and what they want and what they need, and that becomes such a reality for us that we can't just make ourselves vulnerable to somebody else by saying, you know, can you tell me, you know, whatever it is that, you know, is there... How am I doing? You know, are there things I could change? Could I be a better friend, mom, sister, partner, whatever it is? You know, how are you doing? How are we doing?
Right.
And to be vulnerable in that way and be open to what somebody wants us to know. Because that's that heart relationship, heart relating, that I think we all are desperate for.
Yes. Yep, it's true. It's true.
And conditioning gets us so afraid that they're going to say something that devastates us, that we don't say anything, and I think in many cases wind up pretty devastated.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Thanks for that, Sharon. We're going to break now and hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
This year's theme is training to live in this year now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Michelle in Mountain View.
Oh, hello.
Hi,
Michelle. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Very good. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
It's been a really long time since I ever called into the show.
I know.
And I'm finally here.
Good. Glad to have you.
Yeah, you know, last week you were talking about how we can get in a place where we're only allowed to do certain things, like maybe practice things. And I realized that calling into the radio show was something that I haven't been allowed to do.
Mm.
And so, you know, I was recording and listening about it, and it seemed like the only thing to do is to call.
Right.
There's like no choice. You know, one of those things that you approach like that sickening dread, you know, like, okay, now that I'm really seeing this, this is what I have to do. I just have to pick up the phone and call.
I have no choice. Now that I've seen it, which, of course, gives us a lot of understanding about how hard egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate works to keep us from seeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Right.
Because
right.
as long as we don't see it, we don't have to face it.
Right.
And so I was just writing about this, that, you know, people are conditioned to see something. It gets called bad or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're a
mm-hmm.
bad or wrong person for being that way, thinking that, doing that. And
mm-hmm.
therefore, all the attention goes on bad, wrong. The awareness
mm-hmm.
is lost, and conditioning, you know, wipes its imaginary little forehead in relief because
mm-hmm.
dodged another bullet.
Yeah, and it sort of just becomes this festering place of suffering.
Yes.
That, you know, until you see it clearly, it just, you just kind of, there's this sense of feeling bad. And, you know, so like when Tuesday would come around, you can sort of feel it rev up. I could feel
yeah.
it rev up, like, oh, I have to sort of deal with this again if I'm going to call in or not. And, and all the things that conditioning does to, well, maybe talk me out of calling or say, it's okay not to call. You don't have to call. You're participating by just listening and all the things that it would do. And seeing that, it was still there. You know, it still had me.
Yes, yes, yes. And that example is perfect because it, okay, well, you're going to have to deal with this. Which is just
mm-hmm.
like a, you know, a jab right there,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, God, I have to deal
yep.
with this.
Right.
And, you know, the implication is you really should do this, okay? If you
mm-hmm.
were the good, right person, you would be doing this.
Right.
And so, you know, you would be in danger of doing it. But then it follows up with, but you don't have to do it. I mean, you're doing all of these other things. This is
mm-hmm.
just one thing. It just, you know, it's good cop, bad cop. Right, it gets
right.
on one side
mm-hmm.
and antagonizes you or taunts you, and then gets
mm-hmm.
on the other side and, you know, it comforts you and tells you how you're doing fine. And boy, playing both sides of it in that way, it can keep
mm-hmm.
a piece of content going for a long time.
Right, especially when it's just once a week that I have the chance to
yes.
call in, and
yeah.
oh, just let it go one more week. Oh, no big deal. And there it goes. And I signed up for an awareness coach recently, and I think
oh.
that's part of it too. You know, there's this just got a kind of boost of commitment to just to look at those places where conditioning has me, where it's kind of got some limit established that I'm not really seeing, and to just push through it and just
mm-hmm.
show up and participate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and it's so subtle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get that little tennis match that it gets us in, or ping pong match, or whatever it is, you know, with
mm-hmm.
the, you know, you really should.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get to the point of saying, you know, you're right, I should, and I'm going to. Well, you don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know I don't need to, but I'm going to. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it takes all of its ammunition away. There's just
mm-hmm.
there's nowhere for it to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've been through all of these iterations of all the conversation about calling into the radio show, and you know every time I hear someone else call in and they, you know, they'll say how difficult it was to call in, and there's like all this empathy that wells up in me, and I just so appreciate that person. They just become my hero, and And of course, you know, another thing conditioning will do is just say, well, how silly you are. It's just calling into the radio show. And but there's this huge fear that just gets built up over it because of the time going by. And, you know, it's like in the good news update, I think it was Jim had said how the resistance feels so big when you're on this side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get past it, it's like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on this side of it, it feels so big and so huge. And the longer I kind of just believe in it and am afraid of it, the bigger it gets and the bigger it gets.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So. And then it also, it plays both sides, right? So then it humiliates
mm-hmm.
you with, you've got all this fear going about a little thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the matter with you? And then,
right.
yeah, well,
right.
I can, oh, my God, you can't do that. Oh, my God,
yeah.
no, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it always knows exactly the right tack to take, and it keeps changing tack to just keep me, you know, from calling.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used the phrase today. It plays us like a Stradivarius,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just—it's so our karma that
mm-hmm.
that the slightest change in our energy, and it's right there with the thing that that's,
mm-hmm.
that's necessary for it to
right.
maintain control, and that's all
yep.
that's going on. You know, it's the blot dots of life, right? You know, you get a little
mm-hmm.
that way, and it just wakes you up to get back over there to the other side, and then you know it starts
mm-hmm.
just throwing you back and forth between those two sides of the duality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And what we have to get prepared for is running off the road.
Mm.
Right?
Because
that's what
for running off the road.
Yeah, that's what it feels like when we go
mm.
up against it. You know? Okay.
Right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm going to die, but by God,
right.
I'm going to dial that phone.
Mm-hmm.
I just am.
Yeah,
I just,
and it's funny. Yeah, somehow today, why today of all the days that I've kind of struggled with, you know, calling in somehow, I don't know. I just, there was no real good excuse, actually, and I hit the star 6-1, and I just sat, and there are points where, you know, every time it was time for the next caller, my heart would just start racing wildly,
mm-hmm.
And it's like just sit through it, and the, you know, I could feel the voice, the supportive voice of the mentor, kind of just hang in there, you're doing great, you know, whether you get on or not. And, you know, it's just also cultivating that relationship with the mentor who's going to
mm-hmm.
be there, you know, like no matter what, if we die from calling in the radio show, I'll be there with you. And
exactly.
Yeah, it got me through. Yeah.
And that's the whole deal, isn't it? That's exactly
mm-hmm.
the hand we want to hold on to. Even
mm-hmm.
if we die, we'll be
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to cower back here
mm-hmm.
with that hateful voice. That's what we're not
yeah.
going to do.
Yeah, I think I just reach a point where it's like, no, I'm not going to cower here anymore, like in this closet, like the king who gets locked in his closet, you know, and... And
yes.
is told that it's too scary, he can't come out because it's dangerous out there. And, you know, at some point, I think when it gets, I don't know, it's happened, you know, over and over in my experience with practice. But, you know, at some point, I break through. And
yes.
So,
and
yeah.
we break through and we realize that what's telling us how scary it is, it's what
mm-hmm.
is what's running our kingdom while we're hiding frightened in the closet.
Mhm. Mhm.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's
mm-hmm.
the way the story goes, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so.
So
yeah.
yeah. So karmic
yeah.
conditioning is it definitely wants us in the closet,
mm-hmm.
hiding and frightened because it's got the life. It's got all our life force and our energy and
mm-hmm.
and it's living the life that we're not getting to live. So.
Yeah, and even though I'm doing other things. I'm practicing. It's like there's still places where it's running some piece of it, you know. And it seems
yeah.
like in practice that I need to kind of keep on the edge in that way, like kind of keep scouting out those places where it's kind of holding power.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly
mm-hmm.
so. Whatever it doesn't want us to do is what we must do.
Mm-hmm, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so
yep.
we feel resistance, and, you know, our antenna just jumps up. Ooh,
mm-hmm.
all right, what is this? Resistance. Oh,
mm-hmm.
oh. Because it's always that system trying to stop us. So,
mm-hmm.
there's resistance. Okay, well, I need to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and I think, I can't remember when we were talking about it recently somewhere, but... the thing that's hard for us to realize and then remember is that it's that attitude that sets us free. It's not the resistance that we're going to encounter and go beyond. It's not what we're doing. It's that, oh, resistance. All right, I have to take that on. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that makes me free. Nothing can be successful against us when we have that attitude. It just can't.
Mm-hmm. Right. When we're not afraid of whatever it's scaring us with. And
that's right.
We're willing to take the risk. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's the person who climbs up the side of rock mountains or jumps out of airplanes or stands up and gives a speech before 15,000 people or whatever it is that for most people it's oh no, not ever. And we're looking at the emotional, mental, spiritual component of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to take that on. We want to prove to ourselves that it has no power over us.
And the more sort of successes I have in that way, it just builds that faith and that courage, to do it again and again. It actually makes it fun.
Yes, that's exactly it. It makes it fun. And when it's fun, oh, my God, we're unstoppable. We're just looking for more and more fun to have.
And I can sense that. I think that it's just that what happens a lot with me is that I don't kind of keep it up. I'll have some breakthrough, and then I slink back again, and then it's gone again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep, exactly so. That's what happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I forget how that freedom felt.
That's right. It just starts closing it over, which, again, is the power of recording and listening, right? So I hope when you get off this call, you grab that recorder and you record the whole thing, right? The process that it's done to you in the past and how today, for whatever combination of reasons, it was the right time and you stepped into it and you got to the other side and you realized that you want to continue having those experiences because you want that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you listen to that with enough regularity that conditioning won't be able to cover it over and slip you back into that closet of fear.
Okay. And don't wait so long again before I call in.
Don't wait so long. Don't be a stranger. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad it happened. I know it'll happen again. All
yes,
right.
It will.
Thanks, Michelle.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Michelle. That's my new practice hero, Sherry.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yep. I bet there were people all over the place listening to her going, wow. That's amazing. Okay.
It is amazing.
I'm going to do it too. She did it. I'm going to do it too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was such a perfect picture of the whole process. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And such a Sangha experience. Such a demonstration of why we do this together. Because you can't have that kind of experience on your own. You can't listen to somebody else go beyond a shared fear, when you're by yourself. It's not possible. So, good.
And we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Zoe from New Jersey.
Zoe from New Jersey. How are you?
I'm okay. I really liked that last call, too. That was really great.
Mm-hmm. Inspiring, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wanting to call since the blog that you put out, the third Spirituality and Money blog.
Uh-huh.
Because that kind of, I think, spoke to directly how I was feeling at the time, and it kind of popped me out of, I think, an identification. And then what you guys were just talking about, closing it over again, and then that happened. And I kind of watched that happen. And the thing that was perplexing to me about that whole thing, let me just stop for a second and take a breath.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that blog. Like, it spoke to just exactly how I was feeling. And
Zoe, can I can I make a little confession right here?
You know,
I have a brain like a sieve. I have no idea what was in that blog. So,
I know, and I looked it up because I was trying to remember what was in it, too, and I thought about jogging your memory, actually, so.
Yeah, so just tell me what you particularly got out of it, and maybe I'll, that'll
right.
do the jog.
Right. Oh, yeah. So it started off with, like, that sometimes people tell you that you're harsh, but you idealize sugarcoating, and, basically it's about like an unwavering it's like to me what I got out of it was that it was about unwavering commitment. And resistance, you know, that it's kind of like, let's see. Do you remember it now? Did that help jog your memory?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I can go to a place of, that often the things that I say and do are very unpopular with conditioning, and that's okay, but, you know, it's important.
This is important.
It's really important. And not to give in to pressure from karmic conditioning, because this is really important. Was it something along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, it was almost just what you were just talking about, you know, that freedom. And I think what I became perplexed about was wondering what to lose with conditioning. And I think what came either from noodling or from it dropping in, I don't know which, was that, well, it has to be conditioning, colluding with conditioning, because the heart wouldn't do that. And so I guess whatever it is that I'm experiencing, when I feel identified with, I was looking at like the things that I wanted to say, and there were so many. I was trying to shrink it down into the essence, and I'm doing a poor job, so I'm sorry.
That's
it's like
okay.
A lot in my head, and so I'm trying to be succinct, and I'm failing. But I guess.
So there you are, and whatever it is going on,
mm-hmm.
and you realize it must be conditioning interacting with conditioning, because the heart doesn't do that.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. Right. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Any conversation back and forth is ego talking to ego. It just is, because you're right. The heart just, it's not that authenticity has no interest. It has no perspective in the sense, you know, ego lives in a dualistic world of, well, it's either right or it's wrong. It's good or it's bad. You know, you should or you shouldn't. And for the heart, it's just compassion.
Right. Yeah, I guess I was feeling like a hopeless failure at practice because I felt like I was colluding with conditioning, and then I felt like I was kind of at square one with the very, very, very same thing that, you know, I kind of always come back to. And, you know, I could see just on this call that it seemed like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, from conditioning, and it's all identification. And, you know, does that make any sense? Am I making sense at all?
Yes, yes. So here's what it all boils down to, okay, for anybody who's listening, that substitute your name for Zoe, okay? And so you just stop at any point, wherever you are, and you just say, you know, I love you, Zoe. And that's it. That's the whole deal. Nothing matters. Nothing matters except that. And people, you know, we've been conditioned. It's not our fault. It's egocentric karmic conditioning. It's come down since as long as from before the beginning of beginningless time, this has been going on, right? And we're born into it. And we get all in a twist about what's right and what's wrong and what should we do and what does this mean and am I a good person or a bad person and what happens if this and that and what if I make a mistake or and none of it matters a fig. And it would all dissolve in a moment if you could just say and hear and feel and know, I love you, Zoe. Because in that moment, and I hope everybody's doing it and filling in their own name, in that moment, you would see what you are. And I predict that in that moment when you see it, you won't be able to stand up. And you will fall down to the ground, and you will want to kiss the ground, and all you will be able to say is thank you. Can you get a sense of it?
I think so.
Yeah. It's big, and we're sneaking up on it. But that is where we're going. And it's a wonderful reminder for ourselves with great regularity along the path to just stop and truly, deeply appreciate the extraordinary expression of life that you are. And feel the gratitude for this just inexpressibly magnificent and miraculous opportunity that we have to be a human being alive. Once we get that, there's just no room for should, shouldn't.
Yeah, I want to get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know something?
What?
The fact that you said that means you already did. And what you really want to do, as you say, is live there all the time. That's what we're practicing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you are just so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how to express gratitude properly because it is really, really inspiring what everyone does for practice.
It is. It is. And we can't express the gratitude we feel. It's not possible. It's just not.
Yeah.
But we can say thank you, and it is code. You know, it's code for there's so much in my heart that I think I'm going to burst. Yeah. So, thank you.
All right. Well, good night.
Good night, Zoe.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. Wow. About all I can say is wow. And, there's a lot of thank you and a lot of gratitude under that wow.
Mm. So, ain't life grand?
Life is very grand. Another amazing show, and I'm super grateful. And
you too,
beautiful.
Michael.
Take care of yourself,
okay? Get lots of rest and drink lots of fluids.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.